It's recording. So, hey, what's going on, guys? It's GXRP Perez, and today we're here with Crypto Track. What's going on, Crypto Track?
Hey, what's going on, brother? It's Cole on the Crypto Track.
Oh, hold on. Where we going? Where we going? You tell me. I don't know.
Hey, the train's leaving, man. You got your ticket, bro?
I got my ticket. I got my hat. I got everything. I'm packed. I'm packed, ready to go.
All right.
I even got my handy dandy notebook.
There we go.
I got my monster.
Everything. There you go, man. Get hyped up. You ready to go?
I'm ready to go.
All right. So
you ready to go?
You know it, man.
You don't even know. I'll take this like way beyond. Like way beyond. Check this out. You ready?
I'm ready.
Where are we going?
Whoa, we got the green screen.
No, I ain't got no green screen. I just know where I'm going. Cause of this guy right here.
Nice. Nice.
Yep. And then this is my vacation spot. Right? After we moon, that's where I'm going. But that's my little, that's a little trick. It's a little trick. I'll show you later on. But anyway, I got into the market. I had to deal with a situation during the weekend. I didn't really look at it. I hopped back into the market. It was bullish. And then all of a sudden, I go in and it's crashing. So I don't know what you know, but I know people want to know what the hell's going on with the market. From over the top that I know, that I've learned, I don't know if you've read any articles as of today, I know that something about coronavirus, something that supposedly came out of Congress. As a matter of fact, if you could do me a favor and see if you can pull up, put why did market crash 2/16/2020. And then maybe we could read them an article. Does that sound good to you?
Yeah, sounds good, man.
And before we hop into it, why don't you go ahead and introduce yourself to my audience, because they won't know who you are, but they sure will after this. So they need to get to know you, just like everybody else.
Yeah. So like I said, I'm Cole. I got the Crypto Track channel on YouTube. Just started that up. I like to integrate, speak to people in the XRP community, different people just interested in cryptocurrencies. So yeah, it's just exciting. I'm pretty new to the market itself, but that's why I hang out with people like GX or Pete Perez to gain more knowledge. I think we should be knowledgeable on what we invest in, and I'm invested in it, so I just want to learn more about it.
Cool. And in the 5 minutes that you've been with me, that kind of an overview, you've learned a little bit, right?
Just busting gold nuggets, man.
Uh-oh. You can't find them all in one day, though. I promise you that much.
Right, man. It's all about building relationships and continuing to learn and grow together.
Yeah, you progress as you go. So on that note, this is an article based on cryptocurrency or just the market crashing period?
This is the market in general.
Go ahead. Go ahead and cover it, because that could be another reason why we're being affected. So
yeah,
Over the top, if you can go ahead and read that.
Yeah, okay. So what's the risk of a market crash in 2020? So this is just talking about it. And as we see, the market's been rising really fast. So there's a lot of people kind of skeptical on that as well. So just real quick on this, stock market crash are tough to predict. Fortunately, they're also quite a bit rarer than you might think. The stock market dropping overnight has historically appeared a result of either glitches in trading operations or unexpectedly correlated behaviors such as forced selling. For example, it is now often believed that the 1987 Black Monday crash, where the markets fell over 20% in a day, was primarily driven by portfolio insurance, where many investors had trading places in place and causing them to sell the markets dropped by a certain amount. The intent was to protect these investors from larger losses.
We could possibly leave that at that, because that has to do with like you said. I just wanted to see if it had anything to do with Congress or anything like that at the moment. This looks like it's really talking specifics, like why it can't drop in one day or things like that. So if you want, do you know about news now?
No.
All right, so I'm gonna send you the link. Send you the link now so that you can get it, and then you can have it for future. This is like the most recent news that you get. This automatically plugs it in there. Doesn't matter what crypto it is, you could specify, but I'm gonna send it through you to chat, and like that even for your posts, like when you do, you know, when you do your Twitter updates and stuff like that, if you want to keep your followers up to date, you can do it with you can do it here. And I just sent you the link, so if you want to go ahead and click on that.
All right, should be loading up.
Perfect.
Yeah. So, man, it's funny reading that though. It talks about how it dropped 20% overnight. Man, we've seen
the volatility. Yeah, that's why I was like, you know what, yo, you don't want to see them 80s. You don't want to see them 80s.
Yeah. Oh man.
It's volatile. So I was like, you know what, let's kind of skip that little article right there. Which whatever. The beginning is usually what you cover to see if it's going to affect us. You know.
Yeah.
But when it started talking about 20%, ours is way more volatile than that. So over here on the side, you see where it says Bitcoin, Ethereum, Libra, Monero, Ripple, Stellar, whatever you want to read on, it'll tell you.
Nice. I like this.
Okay. So right here where it says, is Ripple looking to disrupt the
16 billion in remittance markets?
So
Bragg has to take.
Let's go ahead and cover some news, and then we'll jump into some coins. I mean, we're going to get caught up pretty much.
Yeah, yeah.
You know,
I'm liking the site, man. I'm liking the site.
Hello. What am I here for, bro?
Like I said, man, that's why I hang around you. Come and ride the train.
Deliver me. Mm-hmm. Okay, so Ethereum, XRP, and Litecoin could see further decline. That's an article we might need to get into.
Yeah, man. Okay, this is taking a little while to load up. Okay, shoot, man. So how long you been in the crypto market, brother?
All right. So me personally, I've been in it for 4 years. I've actually talked about this in my past videos where I
4 years.
Yeah. Ba-ba-ba-ba, 4 years. It actually takes a toll on you, bro. Because when I first started. Like I said in my prior videos, it was very difficult, bro, to even get into an exchange. Like now they make it real easy. Now it's Coinbase and put your money in and your card and bing bang and you got your crypto. You
know? Yeah.
Back then it wasn't like that. You didn't have that. You didn't have that at all. And nobody was there to teach you how to go through an exchange. There was no YouTube back then for crypto at all. It didn't exist.
Yeah, man, that's wild.
So I had to figure it out. It took me 2 weeks to get what I had. I invested $500 exactly, and then I got out. I just got exhausted. I didn't pay attention to it. I said, well, okay, well, I'll find out. I fell asleep on it. That bull run went up. I was supposed to make $300,000. $300,000. That's a whole lot of money, bro. That's a whole lot of cash. Oh, God. Ah. I wanted to cry a little bit, but I didn't. Thank God I didn't.
I would have cried.
Yeah. No, I'll send you a couple of tears later in a jar. I got a whole bunch. I just saved them. You know, Ripple? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It might make a difference, you know, for somebody one day.
All right. Ripple looking to disrupt the $16 billion Indian remittance market? Here's Brad Garlinghouse's take. You know, just the CEO of Ripple. No big deal.
Boom.
All right. So when we look at the framework, we want regulatory clarity, and that's an important one. There we go. So these are the words of blockchain giant Ripple CEO, Brad Garlinghouse, featured interview with CNN. Yeah. Did you guys watch that interview? I know XRP agent, shout out to you. He live streamed it. He had a good amount, like 400 people from the XRP community come in to check that out.
Well,
but anyway,
we need to come up with these ideas, bro.
Yeah.
No, I didn't watch any of that. Remember, I told you I came in the market. I didn't really pay attention. I don't really read articles either, but, from right now, I kind of have to just to see what the hell's going on in the community as a whole, you know?
So. Yeah, for sure. All right, so he went on to say, while any remittance market that has a lot of U.S. dollar and euro flows continue to be high priority, the only hurdle in cases like these is regulatory clarity. A staunch supporter of regulation in this crypto space himself, he went on to hint that India could be on their expansion list if the lawmakers provide some sort of relief in terms of regulating the market. He said, you know, typically you'd say India would be high on our list, but India hasn't yet provided a lot of clarity from a regulatory point of view, and so we have not prioritized. kind of sounds like the USA when they keep talking about that.
Yeah, you know what? And it's funny because one of the first companies that they were actually trying to get into was India, and supposedly they got in there fairly quickly. When they talk about regulations, we don't even know what they're talking about because we don't even know the regulation in India as far as currency. So they could be talking to us gibberish because we'll never find out unless you're actually involved within the economy or Congress or whatever type of government they have there. I mean, we know ours, but we don't know everybody else's. So when they talk about regulatory, we don't know numbers, nothing. We don't know nothing. It's up in the air when it comes to that.
Yeah, no, it is wild because I remember hearing something about India a while back as well.
It was one of the first people that actually we targeted was India, because India is 70% of all revenue, I think, comes from India as of right now. It's like huge. And they hold a huge gold too, a huge amount of gold as well, because of their culture.
Okay, so it says, while there is no outright ban in the country, however, the clampdown Reserve Bank of India imposed nearly 2 years ago has attracted negative press for the market. The lack of regulatory clarity has not deterred San Francisco-based firm to look forward to the vast remittance market that India has offered. It's talking about Ripple. When asked if the blockchain firm has stepped back to the lawmakers of the country issue its regulatory stance on the market, Gonehouse asserted, "I wouldn't say we stepped back. It means a lot of frequent flyer miles for me." He just keeps going over there. That's funny. I had a Crypto Nation News on one of the streams with me, and we talked about a crawl, walk, run phase and where the transition is, where we are now. He said that he thinks we are in the walking phase, and the transition was that Brad Garlinghouse said, instead of them calling banks nowadays, they call bank, or the banks call Ripple. So I think that's interesting.
That would generally be the case regardless. What I say is, honestly, I think everything's my personal opinion. I think it's all a front. It's all a show. You have all the, okay, we've gone digital. In my opinion, we've gone digital, and we've been digital for a very long time. You look at Switzerland. They're digital completely. And they've been screaming out digital, digital, you know, cashless society for a long time, for years. You know, they're one of the first. And that's mainly where all our resources are coming from, you know, in the sense of gold. And they're like the only nonchalant, like people don't really pay attention to it. And that's really where people have their money stored. Switzerland, right? When you think Switzerland, what do you think?
Freaking skiing and...
Okay. Okay, there you go. But I think
they're rich. Definitely rich.
And their culture is rich, period. You never hear flaw coming from that location. Ever do you ever hear a flaw. When they talk about Swiss, it's like alarms go off. Oh, what are you saying? What are you saying about the Swiss?
I went over to Switzerland. I went to the city Zurich, you know, and I'm telling you, man, every freaking vehicle was just a bomb vehicle. I've never seen so many bomb vehicles in my life. Just driving on the road.
Correct. And it's not a front. Not only that, but nowadays you have your apps. You have your digital apps, right? You have your banks. You can transfer money from app to app, correct? We're not shifting far from this. This is what I'm trying to get to. They're saying they got, 75% and they need the rest to kind of like cut the complete deal to work as one. What makes you think we haven't been working with it already? I mean, this goes back to the conspiracy phase of it. But I don't believe in conspiracies. I just believe in facts. Just like I was telling you earlier, when we were talking about Stellar and we were talking about Ripple and how they were involved through IBM, right?
Yeah.
Okay, Stronghold and all those companies that I showed you. When you have Ripple and Stellar working together with IBM, and you have the creators of Zelle, which are Interstellar, which they work for Stellar. Their brand is Stellar. And they're doing Zelle, which are digital payments that work constantly. Then you have Cash Apps, you have Venmos, you have all of these platforms working as one. And that's what these companies are trying to accomplish now. Now is when they're trying to accomplish that. What makes you think we haven't been working with them for years? The test
payment. Yeah, no, that's a good point.
You know, how are we getting these payments across in a matter of seconds, but they're still charging the same fees? Because if you do a PayPal, it doesn't take 2 days. It'll still take your 10 minutes or whatever for them to process, and boom, you got your money, but they still charge you your fee. I could send you right now to Germany. I could send you what, $1,000, let's say. But they're gonna take their $80 fee.
Oh yeah.
So what makes you think that they're not taxing you right now for that? Just because this hasn't been implemented on social media, meaning or on any platform as it's majorly adopted.
Wow. So you're saying that they're already using it, or at least possibly.
It would only make sense if you actually think about it. Zelle takes seconds and they don't charge you any fees. You can now deposit a bank by the click of a picture. Boop. And your money's in your account. How's that even possible?
No, that's a good point, man.
So, I mean, you can keep reading the article. I just wanted to touch base with that because I wanted to see your perspective on that, because that's mine. You know, people don't think that we've been in a digital age for a long time. When was the last time you saw cash or you stored cash in your hand? Like go to the store and be like, oh, here, 20.
Being in Germany, they're definitely outdated with that stuff. So if you don't have cash, you just kind of screwed. So you need cash everywhere you go in Germany. So
Where's Ripple in Germany?
I don't know. Where are they? Not there.
Well, there you go. That's a good. That's, you know what, you should do that research since you're over there.
Yeah, man.
That'd be great.
I know they're about to be in London though. It's close enough.
I mean, they've got all their Euro central banks. You know, packed. They're not worried about UK, any sort of Germany or anything like that, because they're already locked. They already locked down the central banks. Remember, they're not doing retail level.
Yeah. Yeah. So, wow, man. Central banks is where they're at. All right. So it says, besides Ripple-backed remittance services provider MoneyGram had recently announced a partnership with Indian Money Transfer from XBX Cash, a wholly owned subsidiary of NASDAQ listed EBEX as a part of its expansion plans. Little chart there. Boom. According to the Trading Economist, latest report, remittance in India increased to $16.373 billion in quarter three of 2019 from $14.641 billion in quarter three of 2019. Wow. So that's $2 billion difference. And developments in digital space coupled with regulatory clarity on the crypto market could essentially change the dynamics of the remittance market and on its steady upward curve.
Okay, so now that you're done with that article, let's go ahead and I sent you a link. I'll read it if you want. It's the last link that you have, but so you could show it.
All right, should be loading up.
Yeah, and why does it look like it's like dark on your end? Let me see.
I think it was just
That's good. Now that's good.
All right.
So, it says Ethereum, XRP, and Litecoin could see further decline. And this is starting, I don't know what's the situation is going on, but maybe this might explain. This is actually one of the updated articles. So let's go ahead. So last week, the market began to overheat as greed took hold. Ethereum, XRP, and Litecoin saw losses in the subsequent sell-off. Indicators show further declines. Ether prepares for further drop. Ethereum saw its price skyrocket over 145% in the last 2 months. This cryptocurrency went from trading at a low of 117 in mid-December 2019 to a recent high of $287. During its run-up, Ether encountered a small correction of 12% in mid-January, right?
Yeah.
This retracement served as an opportunity for sidelined investors to get back into the market, later pushing its price higher. Now, it seems like market participants could be given another chance to buy ETH at a low price, meaning that it's going to go back down, but it's only to correct itself. So the TD sequential indicator in currently presenting a sell signal in the form of a green 9-candlestick on the ETH's third day chart. This bearish formation estimates a 1 of 4 candlesticks correction before the continuation of the bullish trend. A red 2-candlestick trading below a preceding red 1-candle could validate the sell signal given by a technical index. So you could
go that's what I was about to say though. Looking at that picture, it just looks like it's about to, you know, downtrend for a little bit.
Yeah. You want to continue reading the bottom paragraph, or you want me to continue?
Yeah. All right. So adding credence to the pessimistic outlook, the parabolic stop and reverse of SAR recently turned bearish on Ethereum's one-day chart. Each time the stop and reversal points move about the price of an asset, it is considered to be a negative sign, just as we were talking about. The parabolic SAR, or SAR, flip indicates that the direction of Ether's trend is changing from bullish to bearish.
Yeah, that's crazy, right? How things just, that's the market though. People got to understand it. People got to understand it. They got to kind of get really into the whole chart scene, but let's continue reading. So an increase in the selling pressure behind Ether could allow it to break below the 23.6% Fibonacci retracement level, which is providing significant support at the moment. Closing below this hurdle could ignite a further decline to the 38%, 50%, or 61% Fibonacci retracement level. These barriers of support sit at a $222, $202, and a $182 respectively. So that means that if you haven't bought into ETH and you want to buy into ETH before it hits that 20 grand, this is not financial advice, but this is my advice.
We got some bullish people up in the house.
We're not financial advisors, but we just give smart advice. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding, guys. I'm just kidding. You all do what y'all want. I'm just playing. You all know me. But yeah.
All right, so even though a steep decline seems likely, the continuation of the uptrend cannot be ignored. According to this guy, a renowned technician analyst, Ether could be forming a big W pattern. From a long-term perspective, this momentum reversal pattern suggests a return to the $800
level. No, you're shaking my chair, bro. Like CKJ would say, you're shaking my chair, bro. Yo, I don't know about you. I don't know about you, but you own that ETH? You got that ETH?
Ah, man.
You got that ETH?
I need to get that ETH.
Oh, my God.
I need to get that ETH.
Where's your birthday? Tell your wife right now that that's what you want for your birthday, all right?
Oh, man. A correction off the current price levels could be a small price movement in the bigger trend. Oh, man. All right.
Okay, XRP, this is your stuff right here. This is the fun with duds. The fun with duds.
Yeah. All right. XRP suffers a major rejection. Uh-oh.
That's not good. No bueno. So
XRP grabbed the attention of many market participants as it moved above 34 cents for the first time since mid-July 2019. However, the 203-day moving average rejected this cryptocurrency from advancing further, sending its price down to 20%. The sudden downtrend created a bearish 34 cents. Look at that. A bearish engulfing candle on XRP's three-day chart. This is considered to a bearish formation that is likely to push the price of XRP further down. Bearish engulfing candles are usually more effective when they are preceded by four or more green candlesticks. However, red candlestick closing below the engulfing candles will validate the bearish outlook. All right, so it's pretty much saying that this is why it got rejected. It's just hitting this some major resistance, but it broke past.
It's support. Yeah, it broke past the support.
Broke past the support.
But then it
got rejected, and now it's back below that support again.
So you want me to continue reading? It says, if this happens, XRP could plunge for the 61% Fibonacci retracement level. On its way down, the 50% Fibonacci retracement level could provide significant support before XRP continues falling. So let's see what happens. A bullish outlook is contingent on breaking the 203-day moving average, especially after the rejection off this level. Closing above it would set the stage for an upswing to the next level of resistance, and that sit between 39 to 45 cents.
Woo! Money.
Yo, hold on. You got to write that down for him, though. You got to write that down. We don't really care about Litecoin right now. No, I'm just kidding. No. We're all about the XRP. XRP, man. So we got 39. 39, and we got 39, and then we got 45.
45 cents.
Bueno.
When is it hitting that 45 cents, man?
39, 45.
Wind moon.
Okay, so no, you just got to pay attention to it. It says, I mean, you always, I don't know if you know, if you guys know, because you guys are maybe new or not, but there's always a trace that these coins always follow this pattern, especially on a bull market. When you're on a bull market, you have your Bitcoins and everything launches, all the other coins follow. Then you have the retrace from Bitcoin. Then you have your outs outperforming your Bitcoin. Then you have your outs retracing. They start retracing, both of them. And then you have your Bitcoin launches, and then your altcoins follow, right?
Yeah.
So that's the pattern. That's the pattern. They always retrace back. They always retrace back. And on a weekend, that's going to happen, period. That's like your chance to buy.
I'm always nervous. Even though I'll see Bitcoin drop, and I'll get a notification. Oh, Bitcoin just dropped 7% in the last hour. Maybe I should sell it to a P. But then I'm too scared. I'm like, I don't want to sell it. And that's when it goes.
That's what this market's about, though. You can't fall in love with the coin. If you have your bags that you're okay with, that you've already put away, then have your investment side of it, because you should be okay if you make if you have enough to make $500,000 profit based on your sell point, right?
Okay.
What would be a good profit for you?
I mean, I do have an exit plan. I'm trying not to sell until about 6.
I have an exit plan. I want to know.
Once I hit $6, I can sell 5% of my bags, and that would be more than enough to cover my initial investment or all the investment that I put into it and the taxes associated with it. So.
Oh, there you go. So with that in mind, you can just from here on, whatever you purchase, you can play with. So if you've already have an exit plan with the bags that you have and you're comfortable with that, then whatever you purchase now, from now on, you can play with. This is how you learn to maneuver, you know, you can move it around. Just so you can get a taste of what it is to sell high, buy low, sell high, buy low, and see how you double with a certain amount, specific amount.
Yeah, that's a good point.
You get 500.
Don't mess with the bags I have for the exit plans and strategies, all that.
Right, exactly. You have those already loaded up, and
on top of that,
those are shipped. You know, you just throw away the key. Don't throw them away, but you know, lock them up, put them somewhere, and then just play with a specific amount. Because I tell people, if you don't diversify and you stick to a long term investment like XRP, you will get frustrated in the market, because you're gonna see everybody else making money and you're sitting here holding XRP. You know. Because it's a long-term investment, and everybody that's invested in it should know that as an investor, because XRP is based off of governments. Governments take a long time to adopt anything, period.
Yeah.
And you're not talking about one. You're talking about the world, mass adoption, right?
Well, believe me. Remember, I'm in the military. I kind of work with the government a little
bit. There you go. And, you know, it's a hassle just to get through the DMV, you know?
Yeah.
So imagine something of this magnitude. So if you want to go ahead – anything else, anything of importance there?
I was talking about Litecoin, but
so now that we talked about the daily news, let's go ahead and jump in on one of these coins. I know that we tried to cover we wanted to cover Chainlink. That was one of the topics. We wanted to cover the new Stellar website.
And well, I got Stellar open right here, so we can kind of look that up. Right prior to this video, as we mentioned, GXP Perez was just let me know of some stuff with Stellar, just mind blowing stuff. So I haven't researched Stellar too often. I do have a little bag of it just because, you know, I'm always hearing about it, but XRP is usually what I focus on my you know, knowledge and gaining and everything. So, but here we go. So Stellar, the new site, looks pretty cool. So
I love it. I love it.
Yeah, it's an open network for storing and moving money. So here we go. They got some. So it says it's borderless, limitless, and powerful. Makes money better. API SDK to help you transform the world of finance and the networks. Currency connection gives a small company the power of reach of an international bank. Wow, and that's what you're talking about.
Right.
It's looking with these small companies, not just like, well, Ripple's working with, you know, central bankers.
Well, what I try to explain to people, and if you don't agree with me, that's fine. You know, I tell everybody, do your own research. If you don't agree with me and you can prove me wrong, that's perfect, because I like to know. If I'm wrong, correct me, you know? But correct me with facts, not just, oh, no, you're wrong, and but they don't have the facts to back it up, all right?
Yeah.
So what I was explaining to Track was, if you're on a level where you're institutional and you're working with central banks, but that's it, you're not at a retail level, meaning person to person or business to business or business to bank, you kind of need an intermediate there. You need somebody to actually be able to do that. And why is it that Stellar comes out as a different entity dedicated to that? You know, so you had Ripple, then you had Stellar came out, same creator, Jeb McCaleb. So they knew this was an issue prior, you know. If you have one, then you're going to need the other. Think about it. You're going to need the other. Now, what people don't understand is that Stellar is an upgraded version of XRP, meaning to a retail level. So it's more scalable, more sustainable. The transactions are a lot quicker. You won't need XRP just to do, you would only need it to just do cross-border payments, but for big amounts. You have Stellar, which is at a retail level that can grab from a personal level to a central bank level or to an actual institution level. It can do all three, and you would just need XRP to just go ahead and transfer that. That would make complete sense. That's where this comes into play. That's why we wanted to talk about it, right?
Yeah, yeah. All right, so it's talking about the micropayment services, and what you're telling me on Coil and all
Coil
that.
And Stronghold. Stronghold was built on the ledger, on the Stellar ledger. So Coil is another one that intakes the micropayments, which they're working with Libra, with Facebook Libra. Facebook Libra is working with Stronghold. Did you know that?
Yeah, I mean, I know it from talking with you earlier. Right.
Exactly, and it's all based on stablecoin, because Libra is a stablecoin.
Yeah, man, shoot. This site is really interactive, though.
This is a new site, because prior, the one that I actually covered prior had nothing to do with this. Now they're actually letting you design on the Stellar ledger. You could actually make your own Stellar coin if you wanted to right now. Stellar, you know what? Stellar Diamond, let's make it. Crypto Track ledger. You know what I'm saying? You need the GXRP tokens to get on the train. You know, like, yo, it's crazy what they're able to do now. You know, they've evolved it and they've made it. Look down there. You have your IBM. Scroll down. Look at your companies. Why don't you trace one of these companies and see where you get? Like Bitmond or Satoshi Pay or Noodle, or I mean, these are all projects that are working. What is this? Franklin?
Franklin Templeton Investments.
Can we research that company or what? You want to?
And let me click on this thing right here.
You're like, hey, yeah. Go ahead, read that if you want.
There we go. Yeah, I'm just kind of curious what it says. Stellar's open source network. Currencies and payments. Stellar makes it easy to create, send, trade digital representations of all forms of money, dollars, pesos, Bitcoin, pretty much anything. It's designed so all the world's financial systems can work together on a single network. Uh-huh. Stellar has no owner. If anything, it's owned by the public. The software runs across a decentralized open network and handles millions of transactions each day. Like Bitcoin and Ethereum, Stellar relies on blockchain to keep the network in sync. But the end user experiences is more like cash. Stellar is much faster, cheaper, and more energy efficient than typical blockchain-based systems. It's interesting how it doesn't mention Ripple or XRP.
Why would it? Why would it? It's the same creator. Why would it? Why would they? Period. Right there, it's telling you.
Because they're known, just like Bitcoin and Ethereum is known.
Yeah, but they're marketed as two different companies. Why would they want to like even challenge that?
That's what I'm saying. It's wild. All right.
It's a very genius way of, look at Poly. Poly, you know what Poly is?
Yeah. I know it just opened up.
No, we talked about Poly. We touched on Poly back then when I did the video with Dad. We touched on Poly. We went through the entire Poly site. We did it. It's a vault to hold all these assets. in one place if you want to exchange them. So if you get, you got Stellar, which can change one fiat to another, they're going to have to do that through stablecoins, or they're going to have to anchor. What's what they call an anchor. So it's going to have to get to an anchor where they exchange for that that currency. That's fiat. Yeah. You're talking about fiat. You're still going to have that intermediate person that's exchanging this money. So let's say, for example, I want to transfer it somewhere else. That anchor is going to get it, get that. You're going to go pick up the fiat there to where that anchor is. It's not going to get directly to you. This is a cross-border payment that you're transferring from one fiat to another.
Yeah, so it's like an IOU.
Exactly. So it's like an exchange. You go to an exchange, you pick up your money, and that's it, right? But I could send money, and they go ahead and exchange it for you right there at the anchor. Because remember, we're not going to get rid of fiat the way people think. It's not going to be overnight, you know? That's not going to happen. You have too many outdated systems out there. You have too many people that are not updated. This is why it's going to take possibly till 2025, in my opinion, to get it all going to where we can send payments to Germany, because you said they're outdated themselves, you know what I'm saying? In that sense. So that's where you have your coins like what's one of the fancy ones that I covered too? It's called a Pundi X, like a Pundi X type of thing. You know what a Pundi X is, right?
Yeah, I got some Pundi X.
So you know all about it. So it's companies like this that are going to bring awareness to small locations like that location where you're at in Germany. That's what they're working on. That's why all of these are very like small hot companies that people are not really paying attention to. These are the companies that are bringing awareness to your day-to-day distributors. This is how you gain that awareness, and you're able to actually implement this system at a mass adoption level. So you're going to see in Germany, eventually they're going to put little ATMs everywhere, and you know,
like Las Vegas.
Exactly. Like right now in Oregon, we have a ton of crypto, and nobody's aware of what it even is. And you have ATMs all over the place. Every gas station now has a freaking Bitcoin ATM machine, where you can do XRP, you could do Stellar, you could do. So this, you know, this is just awareness.
Yeah, that's definitely good for, you know, mass adoption. Who owns
these ATMs? Stellar does.
Stellar does.
Stellar's are distributing ATMs at a mass adoption level. So they have a company that's dedicated to ATMs, to the distribution of ATMs. You didn't know that, did you?
No, I remember. I remember reading an article on the ATMs. It had a company's name, but I don't remember what it was.
Okay, well, Stellar's also involved in that. So, and we can look that up. We can look that up later on. But you can continue with this.
Yeah, man, you want to go ahead and read this one? What's Stellar's for?
Let me see, because I'm not even there on my page. Hold on. You clicked on.
Okay, I'll go ahead and read it. The Stellar Network launched in 2015. Since when it's processed more than 450 million transactions made by over 4 million individual accounts. Wow.
Companies as big as IBM and Franklin Templeton.
And that's what we talked about.
Yeah. And as small as a single dev, startups use Stellar for moving money and accessing new markets. From the beginning, Stellar has been cryptocurrencies adjacent, but the software has always been intended to enhance rather than undermine or replace the existing financial systems. Whereas, say, the Bitcoin network was made for trading only Bitcoins, Stellar is a decentralized system that's great for trading any kind of money in a transparent and efficient way. The Stellar network has a native digital currency, the Lumens, that's required in small amounts for initializing accounts and making transactions. You can read more about that here. I don't know why I read that. But beyond those requirements, Stellar doesn't privilege any particular currency. It's specifically designed to make traditional forms of money, the money people have been spending and saving for centuries, more useful and accessible. For example, here's what you can do with Stellar. You can create a digital representation of a US dollar on Stellar. You'd call this a dollar token. And you can tell the world that whenever someone deposits a traditional dollar with you, you'll issue them one of your new tokens. When someone brings that dollar token back to you, you can promise to redeem it as it turns for one of a regular dollar. in the deposit account. Essentially, you set up a 1-1 relationship between your digital token and a traditional dollar. Every one of your tokens out in the world is backed by an equivalent deposit. So while people hold the tokens, they can treat them just like traditional money because they know that they're exchangeable for traditional money in the end. You want me to continue?
Yeah, that's good. Who builds on Stellar?
You want me to continue here? You want to continue there?
Let me just skip down to right here real quick. This exact dollar token example is in fact live on Stellar right now. So it's live, implemented by a company called Anchor USD. Roughly $100,000 of value moves quickly and cheaply through their USD token every day. Of course, Stellar works with any currency, not just dollars. And when you add peso tokens, Nira tokens, yuan tokens, all these other tokens, you have truly unified monetary system that keeps the best parts of what exists today. Man, wow, this is crazy how like developed this stuff is.
I mean, if you have a bag of XRP, get yourself a bag of Stellar. Tell you that much, because they're working together.
Yeah.
And they're working very closely together, by the way. Like, Jeb is constantly calling Brett Gagne, hey, yo, already know. I got you, B, I got you. So, the Napster Bitcoin, he's famous for that little speech. I always bring it up.
Yeah, that's wild.
Bitcoin is the Napster of cryptocurrency.
Oh, here we go. Here's the power of Stellar.
Where? Oh, this is what you were talking about, the scalability and all that?
Yeah, I'm thinking maybe we'll get into that. Stellar's open interrupt payment currency system will explain a few powerful, unique Stellar financial features, assets, insurance. Okay, yeah, so these are the features. So you can issue your own assets.
You know what? Go all the way to the top. I want you to click on something. Go to where it says ecosystem. Now click on Stellar Development Foundation. And I'll scroll down, and then it kind of gives you like a little chart, and it tells you like use cases for, you see how it has Venezuela, United States, Nigeria, all these third world countries are already using it.
Well, this is inflation rates.
Okay.
And this is actually what I've talked about before, Venezuela, and what it's talking about is in 2000, right? Dollar.
I just saw the chart over the top. I didn't really read it, but.
You're right. This is exactly what I was talking about. I try to explain to people. And it's the example that I use. Because in 2000, the dollar, the Venezuela, whatever their money was called, is the same as the $1 here. But as time went on, the inflation rates got worse and worse and worse. And that's why Venezuela, they actually had negative interest. And that's what they were giving loans out for, negative interest. So people were getting paid to take loans out. And what they do that for is to stimulate the economy, right? So, and that's how you get the markets crash. And now Venezuela's markets just crash.
Okay, so see, I was mistaken because I just saw it over the top, but it's a good thing I actually caught that because you were trying to explain it prior, right?
Yeah.
So there you go. You have your chart right there. So maybe you can always run back to that one when you want to give an example.
Yeah, no, that's good. I like it.
So... let me see. And right here gives you kind of like a little explanation. You want to run through it or?
Where is that?
Right above the chart.
Oh, right here?
Why what we do matters.
Yeah, the way the global financial establishment is structured today, people are born into an economy just like they're born into a political system. Stellar is a way out. It lets people participate in a worldwide stable financial network regardless of where they live. So they're talking about like globally, not necessarily just... with that. Okay, so for example, using Stellar, a family in Venezuela can keep some of its savings in dollars or in euros and protect itself from local economic upheaval without having to keep bills under the mattress, operate through a gray market broker. That's so cool, man. How do you do that without a green screen?
What? Oh, no, it's, you can do it too. You can do it too. You go to your little video, you go to your video, you see where it says stop video.
Yeah.
Okay, there's a little arrow right next to it that's pointing up. Click on it, and then where it says choose a virtual background, and then you can upload any picture you want, and it pops up in the back. Just look, but look what it says. Just hold it.
It's crazy.
And you don't need, yeah. You don't really need
Zoom, but that's pretty cool, man.
Yeah, you don't really need a green screen for it. I just wanted to mess with you. What does it say right there?
What does it say? You have a small screen here.
Looking for freedom. It has money, Ethereum, Bitcoin, Rolex. You see that?
Baby. Yep.
But anyway, right. Let's get back to this. So is that what you wanted to cover with as far as Stellar?
Yeah, I think that's good, man. You wanna move to what else we have here?
I wanted to move to what was it, Chainlink? Oh no, Atom. Let's cover Atom. We haven't really covered Atom.
Adam, that's right.
And I explained to you what Chainlink was about, because I know I actually researched Chainlink for a bit. But the thing is actually explaining it to somebody to a level where they understand it. That's what we're trying to get at. Let's go ahead and do Cosmos first. We'll do Cosmos, and then we'll jump into, and then if anything, we'll look into Chainlink.
Yeah, okay, here's Cosmos. All right.
Let me jump in so I can be on the same side. As a matter of fact, send me the link through the chat, please.
Yep, gotcha.
If you don't mind.
Yeah, man, this site looks pretty high speed as well. I'm liking it. All right, the site should be to you.
Perfect, got it. All right, so we're open. We're open for business.
Yeah, all right, so, scalability.
Actually, wait, before you start reading, I always like to do this, and I'm really sorry that I interrupted you, I didn't mean to, but scroll up. You see where it says watch video? Click on it. Let's watch the video. It's usually like a 5-minute video. Open it up completely. Open it up. Expand it.
Welcome to Cosmos, the foundation for a new token economy. Blockchain tooling has steadily evolved over the last decade, beginning with the birth of Bitcoin. Bitcoin radically revolutionized the way the world can make payments. It introduced the invention of the blockchain, which spurred the creation of every other cryptocurrency since. Its code base, however, wasn't designed for building custom applications. It was for this reason that Ethereum was built.
It's an archaic system.
The next wave of tooling by combining rich smart contracts with the blockchain. Because of its programmability, Ethereum catalyzed an explosion of new decentralized apps into its ecosystem. But still to this day, economic activity that occurs on silent blockchains like Ethereum or Bitcoin are confined to their own chains. Cosmos is building the foundation for a globalized, interconnected token economy. To make this happen, Cosmos provides these tools: a communication protocol, a consensus engine, and a software development kit for building customized blockchains. Cosmos offers each blockchain their own sovereignty, meaning your application can be custom built for your users, governed by your users. The Cosmos SDK is the tool that gives developers the ability to create sovereign blockchains with plug-and-play modules to ultimately launch their very own token economies. An example blockchain built with this SDK is the Cosmos Hub. The Cosmos Hub features the latest generation of technology like BFT consensus, proof of stake, and on-chain governance. The Cosmos SDK gives your blockchain the ability to connect to other sovereign blockchain applications through IBC. Using these tools, new blockchain applications can be built at record speed, connecting and transferring data and assets with each other for the first time in history. With Cosmos, blockchain technology has the power to revolutionize open finance, prediction markets, cross-border payments, healthcare, real estate, and more. Contribute to the Cosmos vision for a world of explosive economic growth through the power of connected blockchains. Cosmos, the internet of blockchains.
Goodness.
Oh.
Oh, that's wild, man.
So now they get a concept just like we have, because I don't know anything about Cosmos. I mean, I'm sorry that I interrupted a little bit, but I had to get some stuff going here. What do you think about it? What do you think about it?
I think, oh man, there's so many, you know, cryptocurrencies out there that have a specific different use case. And this one is, it, like it said on the very end, it's the internet of blockchains. So while XRP, you know, it's kind of internet of value that's working with that. That's like compiling everything together. You know, how it got went to, it doesn't matter what it is, healthcare, payments, anything can be all on the blockchains together to where it all links together. It's pretty
and
well.
You know who's also doing that, right?
Yeah, what?
Icon.
Really?
Icon's use case is that. And that's why it caught me by surprise when they actually put Cosmos within the, what is it, Coinbase? Because Coinbase is very specific in what they use. Unless it's going to have an actual use case, if you haven't noticed, Coinbase won't put it on their page. Unless they see that business is actually booming and they're actually partnered with a lot of other different businesses, you won't see a coin on Coinbase. So that's why they say any actual cryptocurrency that you see on Coinbase is because it's going to be used. You know, it's going to be used, and they have a specific reach for them, meaning that there's certain credentials you have to like go through, like kind of like a filter before you can even be put on Coinbase. Because remember,
that makes sense, because they don't want people investing in something that's just going shit.
They're a brokerage. They're not an exchange.
Yeah.
Coinbase is a brokerage. It's not an exchange. That's why you get your fees. But at the same time, you know, they kind of did it right. They didn't allow all these other coins, like these other exchanges, but the ones they did allow are the ones that are flourishing. And now when you put a coin on Coinbase, they're like, ah, okay, yeah, it's going to go to the moon. I mean, you saw this. They went up to like $5 and this little bull run. Adam. Wow. So, wow. I mean, think about it. EOS. Shout out. You know, EOS is an internet-based coin, meaning that you can use data through that coin. You don't have to use the internet that you actually use, that you intake.
Yeah.
You can deposit EOS, and that feeds your internet to your app, depending on how many EOS you have deposited. So you have an unlimited amount of internet to run your you don't pay for data, pretty much. That's what EOS is based off.
Wow.
So it's kind of like getting internet for free, but for your app, whatever you're soaking. So depending on how big your company gets, the more EOS you deposit, which now we're going into other coins, but just so you get an idea, there's so much out there. And what's cool about it, though, is that we're going through it together. I mean, I've covered a lot of these coins, but I like to see other people get involved, because now you start to see how big this actually goes, like how it actually gets.
Basically. Yeah, man. Like I said, it's just, it all links together. It's wild, man.
You know, so go ahead and you can go ahead and cover whatever you want now. I just wanted to cover that video so they get an idea from the outside without actually having to go to the website.
Yeah, I'm trying to look at this scalability thing he's talking about.
So it says Cosmos solves today's hardest blockchain problems, and it says scalability. Proof of work protocols are slow, expensive, unscalable, and environmentally harmful. Then on the bottom, it says Tendermint BFT fixes this. Tendermint BFT is a Byzantine fault-tolerant consensus engine that powers Cosmos proof of stake. It says usability. And then it says blockchain applications are complex and difficult to understand for developers. Cosmos SDK fixes this. Cosmos SDK is a modular framework from building interoperable applications, specific blockchains. And then it says interoperability. Interoperability is how they all work together. Blockchain economies are,
Silloid.
Okay, Silloid. I thought it was just me. Silloid. Yeah. And cannot transfer assets.
Siloed, like they're by themselves.
Siloed, there we go, siloed. And cannot transfer assets between each other. IBC protocol fixes this. Inter-blockchain communications, IBC, is a TCP/IP like messaging protocol for blockchains. So pretty much they're showing you how they're scalable, how they're usable, and how they're interoperable, and their fixes for it based on the Atom platform and what their use case is, correct?
Yeah, man.
Do you want to go to develop the developer portal, or
No, that's nothing. I clicked on that. Yeah,
that has to do with programming and stuff. Okay, building on Cosmos. Yes. So you can go to building on Cosmos up there, all the way at the top of the website where it says building on Cosmos. And then if you want, we can cover this. You want me to go ahead and read this?
This is a framework blockchain. Okay, so this is talking about writing your own custom blockchain, launch your own blockchains.
Exactly. And we can go down. It says the modular use powerful SDK modules to customize your blockchain for specific user requirements. And it says scalability, run parallel chains to match the throughput requirements of your growing user base. Interoperability, communicate tokens and value with other blockchains in Cosmos with IBC modular. Secure access control. Firewalls your blockchain applications against malicious modules. And then proof of stake. Use the Cosmos POS module as a secure foundation for your custom blockchain application. Sovereign. Propose, change, and vote on blockchain upgrades with governance module. Open source. Work together to build the free and open source Cosmos developer community. And it says Go. Write your decentralized app in Go. To take advantage of the strong Golang.
Yep.
Golang ecosystem. Okay. So
it's
big.
That's cool. I'm glad I got a little Cosmos, man.
Now you're gonna FOMO. FOMO.
Throw it in there.
That's another one for the bags. No. I actually covered Tezos, and I'm pretty sure you would have liked Tezos because Tezos. It's unlike any other that I've actually covered. A Tezos, when you go into Tezos, which we're not going to cover now, but
yeah,
just like their backing is just ridiculous when it comes to knowledge, who they're using to back them up, what kind of technology and science behind it in order to perform whatever Tezos is trying to accomplish, meaning atomic, nuclear. You know, when you hear these words, you're like, whoa, it doesn't even fit in your head.
These little buzzwords in the community, you know?
Exactly. So if you want, shoot them up with what the market's looking like now, and then we'll make a part two if they like it, right?
Yeah, man. All right. So like we had up in the beginning, we definitely had a little bit of a downtrend, but nothing that's out of the ordinary for the crypto space. Just to hit off lightly. Okay, so it's fair value. So fair value on this side. So the price of Bitcoin is not actually 7,000. That's what it's rated at. But it's 9,600. And then XRP is 28, but they're giving it 35 cent for fair value.
Buy the dip.
Buy the dips.
This is not financial advice. Just buy the dip. Don't buy it when it's 48 cents.
Oh, check this out, though. This is nice. Stellar, 7.5 cents.
Yeah.
Stellar is 29 cents.
Stellar is, damn, yeah, look at that.
That's pretty nice.
So get your fair value, all right?
I like this. I like this site. Chainlink, it's $4.5, and it's valued at about 7.30.
What did I tell you about Chainlink?
Yeah, it's going places, man. It's going places.
It's the pipeline. It's the blockchain pipeline for data, real world data. If you want to connect a blockchain with any enterprise, you need Chainlink, period. If you want to get real time data, meaning the good example that I like to give is Ledger Live. If you own a Nano, right? If you own a Nano, and let's say, for example, you have Ledger Live, that means that if I were to, right now I'm offline and I do an exchange through with my Nano or whatever, or I send money to the Nano, you can go on Ledger Live and see it immediately. That's what Chainlink does. Chainlink gives you that real world connection to a platform, any platform. So it's good for banks, hospitals, any institution, pretty much anything. They're already working with Swift. They're already working with Google. You're talking about the two major operations of the world right now, you know, as far as transactions goes. But it can go way further and beyond. When it comes to information, any sort of information with blockchain, period, you need it. It's a pipeline. The pipeline, that's what,
man,
I like to call it.
Yeah, man, this is big stuff. Let's get excited.
Oh, God.
I got trouble because my kids are sleeping.
Oh, okay.
So So I'm trying to be excited, but at the same time, I'm trying to speak quietly.
Oh, I got you. I know you have separate bags for the kids, though. One is Chainlink, one is Adam, one is...
that's what I named my kids off of, right? Oh, man.
But I appreciate this a lot, though. You have no idea.
Yeah, why is this Dogecoin, right? Fair market value, 002.
Okay, you want me to tell you something? Dogecoin was a joke.
It is. It's a joke. Okay, that's what I'm getting at.
You know the reason why it took off? You want me to tell you why? If you go to your analytics, because I've actually done my homework on this too, which is pretty funny.
Yeah.
If you go to your analytics right now and on Twitter or on YouTube or on whatever, and you find out what your biggest audience is, it's always going to be dogs, meaning people that love dogs. That's the highest analytic in any search engine you could possibly go through. It's a man's best friend, right?
I thought it was cats, man.
Well, no, it's not. It's actually dogs.
And dogs. Hey, dogs are my best friend.
Okay, there you go. I mean, I love cats too. I own a cat. But from my research, it's dogs. And that's the reason why it took off the way that it did. It was a joke. And then it ended up being, you know, everybody's a dog lover at heart. So.
Yeah.
So that's, I mean, it was a joke that fucking, excuse my French, that blew up, but it blew up hard. So that's all we know as far as this goes. But yeah, we do got a part two, and I know it's late where you are. So I don't know how you want to end this. Is there anything you want to add on? Anything you want to close with? We're going to have a part two.
You know what? Yeah, we're in part two. I don't want to say my closeout statement because I'll save that for us at a later time, but I'll let you close it out, man. I really appreciate you having me on it. It's been nice to, you know, linking with you. I know we talk on Twitter. It's always different when you're, you know, talking. We got a camera up and we actually associate with each other. So
yeah,
I appreciate
that,
man.
No doubt. So I'm going to close it off with, we're going to have part two. We're going to do, part one is going to come on in my stream. Part two is going to come on in his. So to help him out, subscribe to his channel, watch him. He has good stuff. You know, show him love, just like you show me on a constant basis, that I appreciate. Hit the like, subscribe, the notification bell if you like what you saw. If you didn't, press a little thumbs down. Just click it. Doesn't matter. Because I like real feedback. I like real feedback. If you think we could fix something, if you have an idea, if maybe you saw some facts that maybe you want to correct, put it in the comments. I'm all for it. And I know he is too. And for the next one.
All right. Hey, thanks, man. God bless.
No doubt.